This week, two separate inquests have raised serious concerns about the level of healthcare provided to asylum seekers and refugees in Australian offshore detention centres. Yesterday, the Queensland coroner found Iranian asylum seeker Hamid Karzai would have survived sepsis if he'd received better care on Manus Island in 2014. At the same time, a separate inquest got underway in Perth into the circumstances surrounding the death of Fazal Cheganinajad on Christmas Island in 2015. Refugee advocates say both cases show the need for better healthcare services in our offshore detention facilities. George Newhouse is the co-founder and director of the National Justice Project, and he's representing Fazal Cheganinajad's family at the inquest. George Newhouse, welcome to Breakfast.
Good morning.
These two men died thousands of kilometres apart, 1 year apart. The causes of their deaths are also very different. Yet you're arguing that these two cases highlight the same problem. What is the problem?
Look, the problem is that the government's cruel anti-immigration policies are killing people. You saw that in the inquest into the death of Hamid Karzai in PNG. You're seeing it played out on Christmas Island through the inquest into the death of Fazal Cheganinajad. And you're also seeing it in the dozens of children that we have had to get the courts to order be brought to Australia because they're not being provided with adequate health care on Nauru. In each of these locations, the Australian government is letting down detainees that they've put in harm's way, and they are not providing them with adequate care and protection.
The Queensland coroner, Terry Ryan, found that Hamid Karzai, a 24-year-old man held in offshore detention on Manus Island, would have survived that injury on Manus Island had his rapid deterioration been recognised. In other words, the death was preventable and it was the mistakes made at that point that sent everything wrong. So it's not saying that the detention killed him, but there were mistakes in the medical service. That's the finding, isn't it?
Well, what's happening is that bureaucrats are interfering in medical decisions. You're getting recommendations from doctors on Nauru, in the immigration detention in Australia and on Manus Island that are being ignored and overruled by bureaucrats who are not qualified to make these decisions and are putting people's lives at risk. You saw that in the findings of the coroner in Queensland. The coroner was quite explicit that the delays in the system contributed to his death.
The coroner was also explicit when he said that the government, the Australian government, retains responsibility for the care of people relocated to offshore processing countries like Manus Island, like PNG. This is not the statement or the view of the Australian government, the Department of Immigration and Border Force. They say the healthcare provided is the responsibility of the governments of PNG and Nauru. Is that now called into question? And do the findings of the Queensland coroner, how much pressure do they bring to bear here on the Australian government?
Well, they should bring an enormous amount of pressure to bear, but it's not just the Queensland coroner, Fran. We've run about cases for about 12 kids who were at imminent risk of harm or even death on Nauru, and we've had to argue every single time in court that the Australian government has a duty of care to these people. It's a lie, it's a myth to suggest that we don't, but the government persists with it, and it's reaffirmed in the decision of the coroner today. But it's not just the coroner. There are many other judges who've found that the Australian government has a duty of care to asylum seekers offshore and onshore.
I'll come to the case that you're representing, the asylum seeker who died, Fazal Cheganinajad, in a moment. But just on this, the Queensland coroner again recommended a systemic overhaul of healthcare responses in offshore detention, including, I think this was a very significant finding, that the new policy should allow those medical staff on the ground, the doctors, the experts on the ground, not Canberra officials, to approve medical transfers. Would that change things significantly? What is going on at the moment?
Look, Fran, there's a number of things that need to be introduced in order to keep people safe. First of all, everyone knows that 5 years in these gulags in the Pacific is affecting the health of individuals, especially children. There are children who've been there for most of their lives. It is having a harmful effect, and they need to be moved somewhere as quickly as possible. The government needs to follow medical advice and not overrule it by political decisions. There needs to be independent oversight of medical care in detention in Australia and offshore. These things aren't happening, and if they did, then you might see less people dying. There have been 9 people who died offshore since Fazel Chegani Najjar's death, and that is a shocking figure. The government says that they're concerned about deaths at sea, but they are dying under our watch as a result of government policy.
So who's getting in the way of it? If the medical staff, and we hear this again and again from doctors who are employed by the medical service, IHMS, which is employed by the Australian government to run these medical centres, they keep saying they are referring people, saying they need to be immediately sent to Australia or somewhere else for medical treatment, and that gets blocked. Who's blocking it? And are you saying this is a deliberate policy of our government to not allow people to get the treatment they need? Is it happening at the bureaucratic level? Is it happening at the head of department level? Is it happening at the ministerial level? What's going on?
Look, Fran, we're finding that it is being blocked in every case. We get documents produced to us in court cases again and again and again. And we hear of bureaucrats at very senior levels, and in one case, all the way up to the top, to the minister's office, blocking movements. The minister's office is involved in these decisions, and they should not be. These are life or death decisions, as you saw in Hamid Karzai's case. He died because of a delay in a medical evacuation, and I've seen it again and again and again.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is lawyer George Newhouse. George Newhouse is representing another asylum seeker who died on Christmas Island at a coronial inquest in Perth. Fazel Chegani Najjar is, you describe, as a gentleman who'd survived torture in Iran. He'd been assessed as a stateless refugee, deserved our protection, but he'd been convicted of assaulting an assault at a Curtin detention centre in 2011, which is why it was concluded he failed the character test under our immigration laws and found himself in Christmas Island. Is that where this all went wrong? And why should the government have handled this any differently, given the character test that we have under our immigration laws?
Look, this went wrong about a year and a half after he was in detention. He was in detention ultimately for 4 years.
In Curtin or in Christmas Island?
Oh, he was moved everywhere, and that's half the problem. Every time he was moved, his medical care was disrupted. There was no continuous assessment or diagnosis of his illness. The system said that there was a confused, he was presenting in a confused way, and that was because no single doctor had a longitudinal assessment of his health care. But in essence, the government knew in 2012 that his health was deteriorating, and it was exacerbated by the conditions of detention. And yet they put him in detention centres that were worse and worse for his health. And finally, when he was transferred to Christmas Island, which is one of the worst centres in Australia, certainly, with one of the least abilities to access healthcare, that was against the government's policy at the time not to send people who were suicide risks to that island, because it would exacerbate his problem, and that's exactly what happened.
Are you tendering new evidence to this coronial inquest to show that the government did have this information, that he was high risk of fragile mental health and that therefore it was a breach of duty of care? Is that the grounds?
Yes, Fran, we will be arguing that the government knew in letters from IHMS to the department way back in 2012 that this man was at serious risk of harm if he continued in this closed detention environment, but the government ignored that advice once again, as they ignored the advice of doctors in Hamid Karzai's case.
George, just finally, the group you're a member of, Doctors for Justice, are calling for an inquiry into mental health care for refugees and asylum seekers. But we had a major inquiry. Some people might remember the inquiry into Australian residents Cornelia Rao and Vivian Alvarez-Salon back in the early 2000s. It's called the Palmer Inquiry. It recommended a number of changes regarding mental health care in immigration detention. Were those protections and recommendations still in place?
Look, Fran, that's a really good point. I was actually involved in the Cornelia Rau and Vivian Solon cases, and Mick Palmer came out with a very good set of recommendations about independent oversight of mental health care in detention and a number of other serious reforms. But they were reversed. They were introduced under John Howard's term, but then they were reversed under Prime Minister Tony Abbott. There needs to be a reinstatement of those reforms.
George Newhouse, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
George Newhouse is the co-founder and director of the National Justice Project, and we have been requesting interviews with the Home Affairs Minister, Peter Dutton, who's so far declined those requests. A spokeswoman for the department has expressed condolences and says it is reviewing the Queensland coroner's findings. That coronial inquest in WA goes on.